I am the town board chair for Searchlight, and today is July 11th, 2018. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussions relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission or Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. Within 48 hours, advance requests, a sign language interpreter, or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530 or relate to Nevada's toll-free number of 800-326-6868. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Laughlin's Town Manager's Office and is available at the county website. Okay, board members. Ellen Giver, Chair. Kyle Myers, Vice Chair. PJ Dye, who is absent this evening. Donna Moore, and then we have a vacancy. Our secretary is Tammy Harris. Our county liaison is Dr. Brian Paulson. This meeting is called to order. I will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Ellie Deaver, I'm here. Kyle Myers.
Here.
Donna Moore.
Here.
DJ Dodd, absent. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Okay, we're going to go to the approval of the minutes from June 13, 2018. I ask the board if you have any comments about it.
No comments.
No comments.
Okay, then I need a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes of June 13, 2018 meeting.
I second the motion for approval of minutes of June 13, 2018.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Zero. Okay, the approval of the agenda for July 11, 2018, and hold, combine, or delete any items.
To make a motion to approve the agenda for July 11, 2018.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Zero. Informational items. First, we receive a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Officer Nick Gulley, G-U-L-L-I, employed by LVM PD for the last 25 years, here to present the stats for the month of June 2018. For Searchlight, we end up having 24 calls for service. For the year of 2017, we only had 16 in June, so we're up 50%. May of this year, we only had 19, so we had a few more calls in the month of June. When it came to writing citations for traffic, we did 54 citations here in Searchlight. We had no DUIs on our end. Battery domestic violence arrests, we ended up having two, and they were adults, no children. We did three bookings that were related to the area of Searchlight. One of those bookings was a resident. We ended up doing one juvenile citation in Searchlight, and that's a resident child. Some miscellaneous activity, a vehicle stop was conducted on the 26th of June, and a female was arrested in Searchlight on a warrant for 8 counts of possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. So she was not one of our locals, so she was traveling through, but she got stopped here. Other than that, that's everything Metro has to report for June.
Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you. Can
I
Kim Colton, 675 US 795. There's been some concerns with some people living in the park off and on for the last 3 weeks. Can you address that?
Yes.
And what the rules are as far as what the park is, should be closed at what time and how that works?
Yeah, we have a family that we don't know where they came from. Rumor has been they've come from California. They've been staying at some of the residents' properties, living out of their own car, and then they seem to be migrating into the park during daytime. One of the children that was arrested under that report was one of their children, all right, for a probation violation. And he was transported to Vegas. We have contacted Clark County Parks. It looks like, I went out last night and looked. It looks like the park. I'm sorry. It looks like the park hours are posted on the backside of the FD building, and it looked like it said 11 o'clock. So the last three nights, we've been going out there after 11 o'clock looking for anybody, specifically that family, camping in the park. I want to say Monday night, one of the 12-year-old children ended up committing a battery on one of our residents here that was staying at the BV, and the child was transported to Vegas and booked into Child Haven for battery. That will come on next month's reports. We're trying to identify the family and start issuing citations to put a little bit of pressure on them to either get a house or move. I contacted CPS, referenced the kids. It's not illegal for them to have the kids out in the park. I got a report last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, reference the male half standing on the corner over by the McDonald's with a sign. So we're stopping him, giving him citations and things of that nature. We have a family here that's allowing this group of people staying on their property. So we're trying to figure out ways to address that. You can't stop somebody from living on your property. If you invite them on, they're legally there. There's nothing the police can do about it. But when it comes to the park situation, we're on it. We're putting the pressure on. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, Officer James here, I'm sorry.
I got a couple things.
Sure.
First of all, Jane Overy, 210 North Montana Street, Searchlight, Nevada. I found this in the paper the other day about the target shooters and things like that. And this, in Searchlight, there have been numerous areas that people can and cannot shoot.
Right.
Well, I do know that we have an area that people have been shooting a long time in the same area.
Okay.
And so I don't know exactly what the rules are anymore about, you know, 1,000 feet from here and there, because when you do walk out here, you do hear the gunshots and they do sound relatively close. And I just don't know what exactly is the specifics for that.
Okay. All right, number one, let's look at the one of our problems is lack of law enforcement officers assigned to the Searchlight. When you call, or whoever calls, it's an hour for traffic right now with the construction. So by the time we get from Laughlin out there, our shooters are gone. That's number one. That's out of my control. When it comes to the law, all right, you're not supposed to shoot within the Valley of Las Vegas, from what I understand. this doesn't fall within that. It's still within Clark County, okay? I'm going to have to research how far you have to be from a building, okay? When it comes to that, if you're, is the article saying 1,000 feet or yards?
1,000 feet.
Okay. Which is, believe it or not, quite a ways.
Residential property is 1,000 feet.
Okay. All right. We can address it. I will bring it up to the lieutenant that will have more issues. Now, I do know as you go down towards Needles, there is a place that's owned by a resident in our county that allows even us to shoot on his private grounds. And you're right, there are some areas that people are going out, I guess, towards Nelson's or something. There's been a problem in the past.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another group, and I think we pretty well got those people out.
Okay.
In the area.
But I'll bring it up to the lieutenant reference. You're getting more and more target shooting. The weather's getting warmer, things of that nature. But the one thing we have to keep in mind, this is a big hunting area. Mm-hmm. From coyote hunting, not illegal. Don't need a lease. Do not need a license. You can do it at night. Things like that. You've got dove season starting September 1st. You can hear more of that, especially out by the quarry. So things like that.
You know, I've lived here nearly 37, 8
years. Right. So I've lived here 38 days.
So I understand, but I do know at one time we did have specific, there were specific lines in the area. And then I don't know if somebody changed those lines or what happened. And as far as the metro officers, yes, I was used to the time when we had two officers
right.
24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I still like to know, when do we have an officer? Is there anybody specifically assigned one day here a week?
Normally what's going on with that, like today is my day. Now I live in Churchill, okay?
Yeah.
So I live down the road here, all right? So I'm here 4 days a week while I'm working. Nobody's assigned a specific day, but there's training days. So today's Wednesday, it's an odd number day. I'm a swing shift officer, I'm here from 2 to midnight in Searchlight. So I've been cruising around. What we have implemented here in the last 30 days is, since I come on at 2 o'clock, I go to the substation, grab my camera, I spend 30 minutes driving around, waving to people, talking to people, things like that. I make some car stops, things like that. You guys are more than welcome to stop me and talk to me. I've made a point now to start having coffee on Mondays at Cottonwood Coast Store. You want to come up here and talk to me, anything they want to talk about, let's talk about it. I will not be in my uniform. I won't have my patrol car. They know what I look like. Come talk to me. But Metro has not assigned anybody down here, I guess, in the last couple of years. I've only been here since December.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
We're very aware of that. But my second thing is, another thing that I have is, I love fireworks and everything else, but this year, because it was specifically very dry, we have a group of people that bring in some of the heavy duty fireworks.
Yes.
Every year, and these were set off here in town, right in a neighborhood,
right,
and very close to where one of the metro officers lives.
Okay.
I was just.
It may have been one of us. No, I'm kidding.
No, but they do. It's every year. And like I said, this year bothered me specifically because of all the fires, you know. And that's,
right.
That's. And I don't know if anybody called on it or anything like that, because all I was worried about was my dog, where he was hiding at.
We did have one concerned citizen who stopped me at the gas station over by Terrible's reference. He called it the racetrack. So he said, I don't know where that was, but he said, that's where normally you guys have your problem. Now, Metro did team up with Clark County Fire Department this year on a task force. We did target any phone calls. We were going to firework phone calls. You know, the river has their big fireworks show, so all of us were pushed that way at 8:30 at night, including the officer that was assigned out here that night. So a phone call would have had response to your house reference. So they are pushing this task force pretty hard, and we are writing citations for that. And then it costs the fire department $1,200 each barrel we filled up with confiscated fireworks. And we were taking them and to bring them to the barrel and disposing them. So, yeah, that, it was addressed, but there were no calls from Searchlight that I received.
Now, this was just a couple items that that I've been thinking about and somebody needs to discuss and talk about.
How much is the stipend?
You know, that I don't know because that's handled through the county, but it's going to be under $500 because it's a misdemeanor. So it's like getting a traffic citation. Part of the problem they were having in Laughlin is because you have the Indian Reservation right there, fireworks are legally sold there, but then the folks coming in from California were jumping on the highway and lighting off the side of the road. Well, if you remember, it was 20 mile an hour winds on July 4th. Yeah. We were out there scooping them and getting them out of there and writing citations. But here, none. I can't. I'm going to take it's under $500. It's a misdemeanor for that.
And the fire department was active in monitoring.
Yes, they were. Yes.
So here in Churchland. So. Yes.
Judy Bendorf, Grandpa's Road. I called this into BLM and some other, but there's dumping along Grandpa's Road. Somebody trimmed their trees and dumped a bunch of deciduous tree branches and some wood about between 1 and 2/10 of a mile in. I did call it into BLM. I haven't checked back to see. It's a county road, but you step off of that and this is BLM land.
Okay.
So, but it has been reported. And I'll continue to report because people seem to think they can drive out anywhere and dump.
Kim Colton, 675 U.S. Highway 95. When Jane brought up guns, it just reminded me that one of the family members that we were discussing in the park, a friend of mine did see a teenager packing a gun, so like a 9mm. Just want you to be aware and any of the town people to be aware to be safe in any situations.
Do we have a time frame on that?
Might have been 3 weeks ago, so I'm not sure if that's the one that went.
It could have been. Why do you know you did not get a gun off that child that went?
Well,
okay. Okay, thank you.
We fine? Okay, thank you.
Okay, yes.
Receive a report from Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns. Okay, not available at the moment. Receive a report from Kim Colton with the Searchlight Volunteer.
You know, you could probably have somebody read the report if there was one.
Oh, there is a report. Okay. Go ahead. She'll read this one.
Okay. Nevada Highway Patrol, June 2018 activity from Sergeant Raymond Hubbs, Laughlin Searchlight District, office number 702-298-7455. Calls for service was 136, traffic stops was 297, citations issued was 233, crashes was 9, no fatalities, 9 arrests and 4 DUIs. There's no difference. It's not telling us the differences between last month, but the report is also back in the back if anybody wants to get it.
Great. Thank you, Donna. Okay. Let's see. Receive a report from Kim Colton with the Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Kim Colton, Secretary Treasurer for Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department. For the month of June, we had 17 calls versus 23 calls in June of last year, 2017. So it was a 26% reduction in calls. Of the 17 calls, 10 of them were for medical, 3 auto, 3 fire, and 1 plane. Fortunately, the plane was just a false alarm. We had our July 4th. Community barbecue, free barbecue in the park, and there was a good turnout. Excuse me. And the parade, it was small, but it was a decent turnout, and it's at least we were able to have the community come together. So it was very nice. One of the things for safety right now, we are having a lot of lightning storms. So I just wanted to bring some lightning safety. You should not go outside for, they're recommending, for at least 30 minutes after the last lightning that you see. And should you be outside in a lightning storm and have any static feeling or any sort of feeling, whether you have an instructor name, but you get any sensation at all, you should drop to the ground immediately. Normal ones wouldn't hit you, but it also grounds out your body. So if it was coming through, it would help to diffuse any lightning strike. So, any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
To receive a report from Judge Richard Moore, the Justice Court, regarding statistics and other activities during the past month.
No report
this evening. Okay, receive a report from Omar Salcedo with the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of our water system.
Omar Salcedo, 9001 South Valley Beautiful Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. Water for the month of June is down from the same time last year. In June 2018, residents used approximately 5 million gallons less than in June 2017. As a reminder, the reason for the discrepancy in usage last year, we had a severe main break in the area after a thunderstorm. This main break resulted in an abnormally high water usage data for the town. So that's why water use for this reporting period is down. This past month on June 14th, we also had a main break off California Cottonwood. Crews responded and made the necessary repairs to have the line back up and in service later that night. Other than that, all was relatively quiet this past month. All wells are currently operational, and there are no other service issues or news to report. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, thank you. We receive a report from Ray Turner with the Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the water system and water usage.
Fire. The statistics for June 2018 treated an average of 39,000 gallons per day compared to June 2017 had an average of 38,000 gallons per day. The difference between 2017 and 2018 was a 1,000 gallon increased flow per day. No sewer service complaints for the month of June 2018. Two call before you dig searchlight tickets received for June 2018. And an influent monthly flow comparison is attached to the deck if you'd like to see that.
Thank you, Kyle. Okay, receive a report from Patrick Kinnerman with the U.S. Park Service regarding current issues and activities in the area and other related concerns.
Thank you.
Hello, folks. Patrick Nierman. That's K-N-I-E-R-M-A-N with the National Park Service. Apologize, I wasn't here last month. They rescheduled firearms range at the last minute and had to be up there for that. So I have
can
a bit
you,
of a...
Can you hear him? Okay. Put it a little closer to you, please.
Okay. So I have a bit of a lengthy report since I have 2 months to cover instead of just one. So incidents over the last 2 months, violation notices issued 64. 29 of those violation notices issued during our No Breaks campaign, where we were enforcing glass and styrofoam restrictions in the park in May. We had 6 arrests. 3 were those for warrants. 1 was for DUI drugs, and 2 were domestic violence. That particular case was turned over to Metro, and that's the one apparently on their statistics for up here. We had 2 motor vehicle accidents, 6 EMS calls, Searchlight Station 75, the ambulance from there. They took all of the patients from those calls. Those patients, we have loading out of the influence charges depending on one of them. Last weekend, there was a near grounding at Placer Cove that they came up and took care of and sent off to the hospital. That patient is improving as well. We've had 8 fires in the past 2 months in the park, 3 wildland fires. At 6 Mile Cove, we had one in June. About a half acre went up. Station 75 again responded down there. They managed to knock it down and contain it. Then our interagency wildland crew responded from the Forest Service and BLM and completely extinguished it over the next 10 hours. About a half acre burned, and it was possibly related to fireworks down there. There were 2 wildland fires in the Capham Landing area, both of those under an acre total in the end. And one was fireworks related. The other one was caused by a vehicle that was stuck while trying to off-road in a closed area. Then we had five dumpster fires, two of them down at Six Mile Cove. Both of those, Station 75 responded down to and extinguished them. And then we had three down at the Catherine Land and Marina beach areas there. Significant incidents that we've had. In the past month, we've had two dragon fatalities in the park. One was at Pot Cove, across from Cottonwood Cove here. That was on June 17th. An adult male drowned, and that was apparently caused by the high winds and waves that were going on that day. Another fatality happened at Cabinside Cove a couple weeks ago. That was on July 3rd. A teenager who overestimated his ability to swim out to a buoy and returned didn't make it. Died at the hospital later that evening. So, 2 weekends in a row in May, we had fights done at Cottonwood Cove Marina. Fortunately, nothing serious in the end, but we do thank our outside agencies for coming down to help us when it sounded pretty serious at first. So. Down at Catherine Landing, there was an attempted homicide. A mother attempted to drown her infant, wandered into the water before bystanders intervened and took the baby away. She was arrested, placed on a psych hold for evaluation. And when she was released from that, she was transported to federal court at Flagstaff with numerous federal charges. And she's still incarcerated pending charges there. So, Rangers from up here went down to Catherine Landing on June 2nd and assisted with a DUI checkpoint down there. 60 vessels were contacted between ourselves and our agency partners. Of those, 6 of the operators were arrested for operating under the influence, and they wrote dozens and dozens of tickets for safety violations on those vessels stopped and inspected. Recently in the park, we've had just a rash of vessel fires. We had 3 major fires at Hemingway Harbor, Caldwell Bay, and Catherine Landing Marina, a couple smaller ones out on water away from the marinas. We've also had several vessels swamped and sunk by weather over the last 3 weeks. We remind everybody that's outboating, you need to check your vessels, make sure they're mechanically functional, and that you have your proper safety equipment with you, and try and prevent any tragedies from going on out there. Staffing, my perennial pulling aside here. My new permanent ranger that I hired, Josh Fulgham, he arrived June 10th, began duty. His first weekend was to grounding, followed by the fire over at Cottonwood. He came back to the dock and asked, is it always this busy here every week? So, welcome to Lake Mead. So, I offered my other permanent ranger vacancy twice. The first one was turned down when her husband wasn't accepted for a dual career opportunity. But I did hire a gentleman by the name of Tom Thorne. Mr. Thorne used to work at Catherine Landing a few years back, and after stints at Wind Cave up in South Dakota and at Olmsted National Recreation Area in Texas, he's coming back here, and he'll be starting for me in mid-August. Very experienced ranger, so looking forward to having him back. So, I'm working on recruiting a temporary employee to fill behind my permanent ranger. He left for military deployment on June 1st for a year. Hope to have that person on staff by September. Down at Catherine's Landing, Ranger Kelsey Cassidy has been selected as the new supervisory ranger down there. She comes to us from the Mojave National Preserve, where she's been a ranger there for about the last 10 years. And she's been acting supervisor at Catherine's Landing since March, and she'll be officially entering on the position next week. Park-wide, some significant vacancies we've had. Our assistant superintendent, Patrick Govins, he retired on May 31st. Charles Cuvalier is filling behind him on 120-day detail as the assistant superintendent. Mr. Cuvalier is the National Chief of Law Enforcement and Emergency Services for the entire National Park Service based out of Washington. He comes to us for 120 days. But behind him, our chief ranger, Adam Kelsey, is went back to Washington to be the National Chief of Law Enforcement and Emergency Services for 120 days as well, too. So it kind of swap parts for the summer. So, but most recently, kind of a little bit of a shock to us, was our superintendent, Lizette Richardson. She was assigned as the regional director for the National Park Service Intermountain Region, which is headquartered up in Denver, Colorado. And she's still deciding if she's going to accept the reassignment. and moved to Denver, or she'll be retiring by September. So we should know that within the next couple of weeks. But anyway, we're going to be getting a new superintendent sometime this fall. For our emergency response equipment, my ambulance finally returned to service after being out of service for 2 months for repairs. But my fire engine went into the shop for service and testing. We did get a reserve engine back in my station to cover that, but that particular engine has limited capabilities off the paved road, so I can be careful if I get something out in 6 miles to take it down there. So, on a good note, for our emergency equipment, the National Office out of Washington, they coughed up $150,000 to help us fund a lot of the repairs that our engines need to the 7 engines we have throughout the park. So, seasonal paramedics, we found out we're not going to be getting any of them down here to Cottonwood Cove. We had only 4 people accept the 6 offers that we made, and of those, only 3 have cleared through the personal office hurdles at this point. They started up at Boulder Beach on June 24th, but unfortunately I won't have any of them down here for the summer. Concerning our concessionaire, they have a new general manager down there. His name is Herb Riggle. He's taken over from the Carters, who retired back in April. Their summer operations are up and running fast. The big news, as I mentioned before, Forever Resorts, they sold their operation. So the new concessionaire is the Guest Services Incorporated. They'll be taking over everything at Lake Mead that Forever Resorts was running. That includes the marinas at Cottonwood Cove, Willow Beach, Caldwell Bay, and Temple Bar, plus the RV resorts at Boulder Beach and Echo Bay. The transition between the two concessionaires will be taking place in stages over the next few months. We're told that there's going to be no major changes in the immediate future. Guest services, though, they've got a bit of a decent track record. They currently have park service contracts at the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and Mount Rainier National Park from Washington. Plus, they have several state parks and marinas across the country that they run as well, too. So we think it'll be a good match for us. Flood response plan, we've been working on that for the past few months. We sent our completed plan back to the contractor for it to be printed up and sent back out. We had a contractor come out. They serviced our flood warning system. It's operational. It's working. If it hits the points, it should go off as well, too. The storms over the last few days, they provided a pretty good chance for us to test the system. And the plans in the early stages, it was very successful in doing that. We think we have a good system in place and hopefully prevent any disasters from occurring. I was told today that the contract for the armoring of our flood diversion dikes at Cottonwood Trailer Village was just signed. Work's probably going to begin in September down there to armor that up and make it a little bit tighter. And then we're still continuing our planning for the long-term flood diversion project to keep the waters from the developed area entirely. So, okay, some other things that have been going on the last couple months. I mentioned, I believe, back in March that we had a sewer lift station project that as soon as I started, they came across a fuel spill. After some extensive testing, they determined it was very old and a very localized fuel spill, pretty much right where they were drilling at. There's no active spill from the current fuel tanks, and there was nothing more found more than 5 feet back from the shoreline. So the state closed the investigation. They've given the go-ahead for construction to resume. The contract will be coming back and gearing up, and they'll probably be getting that back on track in September as well, too. So lots of construction down in Cottonwood in September, it looks like. So and then for our interpretation division, they've been doing some local events. They were here on Tuesday at the Searchlight Library. They'll be down at Laughlin Library on July 13th with the program for Camping 101. They'll be at Laughlin Library on July 31st with the Underwater Explorer program for children. Details on those will be on our webpage for the park. And then kind of a big thing is that on July 21st, that's the 70th anniversary of the B-29 crashing into Lake Mead up in the Overton Arm. And so there'll be a special event up at the Ellen Bible Visitor Center up in Boulder City to commemorate that and talk about the B-29 and its preservation and what the Park Service is doing to make sure that it lasts throughout the year. So a pretty interesting program going on up there. If anybody wants to travel up to Boulder City on July 21st, it should be an interesting program. So, okay, thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to.
Kim.
Okay.
Kim Colton, 675 U.S. Highway 95. Just wanted to find out how 6 miles has got a lot of trash and debris around it, and I don't know what the cleanup, what the Park Service does to clean it up, or if there's another cleanup down there, if they're doing it, how that works.
Well, again, like I have problems with my staffing. Our maintenance has pretty severe problems with their staffing as well, too. It should be a supervisor and two permanent employees and two seasonal employees. It's down to just a supervisor. So he's got one that transferred, and he's got one out of long-term disability, and no seasonals except for the job. So he's kind of at his wit's end. He's getting occasional help pretty much every other weekend to come down and try and take care of the whole area he's responsible for, which is everything Placer Nelson all the way down to Placer Nelson Cove, all the way down to the south end of Cottonwood Cove, all the coves on Cottonwood Basin, everything over on the Arizona side, all the coves on the water. And he's overstretched at this point. So he's a little behind. He does have a lot of help from the prison crews with the Nevada Department of Forestry. They come down about every Wednesday and help him out someplace in his area. It's a long haul for him. So he did hire one. That person should be starting by the end of the month. And I'm not sure if he's going to get any other help, though. So.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
We receive a report from Richard DeClerc with Park and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Richard DeClerc, Program Supervisor, Clark County Parks and Recreation. For June 2018, we had 17 programs with a total of 187 attendees for the month. Our building use was 471. Part of our open rec program, we did run two slip and slide days in June. We plan on doing a couple more in July. Basically, just bring out two slip and slides and run them in the park. It's pretty fun. The first one we had about 25 kids at. Was down at community park. The other one we had a handful of kids. We did it up here on the baseball field. So pretty cool. Upcoming events. We do have two movies in the park scheduled for Searchlight. They'll be at the Searchlight Community Park. They're on Tuesday, July 31st and August 7th. So those are Tuesdays in the summertime. We will have our slip and slides and our new water inflatable, which is basically our old one that we got an attachment for. We'll have those down here in the park from 6 to right around 7:30-ish. So hopefully with the lighting outside right now, we'll be able to show, at least start showing the movie then. Somewhere between 7:30 to 9:30 would be great. Reminder, we do have open rec Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That does include the lunch program. So we do food for the kids from 11:30 to 12:30. I just wanted to mention that because that we have not been having to hand out a whole lot of lunches. So a lot of the kids that are coming in don't want one. So we do have a bunch of lunches in our building right now. And we do try to do pool trips every Tuesday and Thursday. Those are first come, first serve, and we can take about 9 or 10 kids on those. It just depends on how much staff we have to take. And then we kind of have some random field trips built in there. Yesterday we went to NBA Summer League with the kids. I think we handed out like 20 something permission slips, and we only got like 3 back. So if you guys have kids and they want to go on these trips, make sure you get those forms turned in to get on the bus. That is all I have. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, received a report from Kelly Carlson with the Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs. Kelly?
Kelly Carlson, KELLICARLSON, 200 Michael Wendell Way. I work for the Las Vegas Clark County Library District. Our new website is up and running. You must register an account to use for holds or manage your account. If you have any questions, come and see me in the library while we're open, and I will give you the 3 tips that will make you love the new website instead of hate the website. Ellie Bieber can attest to that. Kids programs, we are still having our summer programs every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We did have in June the 4-H partnership for Rockets and Robots. The June attendance was disappointing, but we're going to have another program combined with them for after school in the fall. We do have coming up kids painting on July 18, a tote bag craft that is for all ages, including adults, on Tuesday, July 24th. We are debuting our rig-a-ma-jig play equipment on July 25th. Club Read, which has been going on since June 1st, will end on July 31st, and we will have our Club Read ending party and prizes on July 31st. There will also be food. Perler beads. We just got some new perler beads, and the press that puts them together. We're going to do that, all ages including adults, on August 1st. Potholder craft, all ages including adults, on August 4th. That's a Saturday. Also on that day, anybody who has any of the crafts that we've done in the last 6 months that you may have missed, you can do them on that day as well. And last, before your next meeting, we have our Club Science on August 8th. As I did mention, Club Read began June 1st, and that's our summer reading program for kindergarten through 12th graders. Prizes in 3 age groups. The last day to enter your logs, your reading logs, is July 28th. Hopefully everybody's already registered for that, that's reading along. And we will have food, drinks, and party and prizes on July 31st. We also are continuing our snack program throughout the summer, and our bag breakfast program for the weekend has arrived. We also are seeing very few kids coming into the library and taking advantage of the snack program and the weekend bag breakfast program. Our adult activities, we have our continuing bi-weekly book club that we do in conjunction with the Senior Center. Upcoming, we will have our meetings on July 24th and August 7th, and we keep copies of those books at the library if you want to join with us. As I did mention before, the tote bag craft on Tuesday, July 24th is going to be open to all ages, including adults. Sit and paint, last Thursday of the month, as always, at 1:30 right here in the community room. Perler beads craft, open to all ages, including adults, August 1st, and the potholder craft on August 4th. We are doing a library outreach to the Cottonwood Apartments on July 17th. I've been coordinating with Christy on that, and hopefully we'll have a few people that are willing to take advantage of that. We're going to load up some carts and our bins full of books and DVDs and take them out and basically allow the people in the Cottonwood Apartments to check stuff out from us there if they have mobility issues that preclude them from coming on down here to the library. We're hoping to make that a bi-weekly program there if there's enough interest. And as always, please like and see our Facebook page, because all of our programs and all of our program flyers are on there at least twice. Thank you.
Any questions? Kim.
Kim Fulton.
Kim called 675-0785. So your Facebook page, are you doing the Searchlight News? Because that's what I saw the Philip Tyne, and I thought it was great that we have now have a avenue on Facebook to see these things, but I don't know who's running Searchlight News.
That's me.
Yeah. Very nice, Kyle. Thank you so much. It's fantastic.
Yes, and I heard through the Searchlight grapevine that you are reposting all of our stuff, and I do appreciate that. But anybody who wants to get it direct from the horse's mouth, please like our library page, which is separate from the district page.
Great. Any other questions? Thanks, Kelly. Okay, receive a report from Janice Kostecki with Searchlight Senior Center regarding current and upcoming activities.
Janice Kostecki, 496 State Highway 164. This Thursday night is Turkey a la King's Salad Bar, Fruit Cup, Veggies, Bingo at 6, that's $1 a card. Dinner is only $4. On Monday, July 16th at 10 a.m. at the Senior Center, we will have somebody coming in to give us updates and explanations. explanation of benefits for Medicare. So confusing, and everything has changed. And we have somebody coming in again. That's 10 a.m. Monday, July 16th. We'll have cookies and drinks there. Come on down and learn what's going on and what's new with our Medicare. Thank you.
Any questions? Thanks, Janice. Okay. Announcement of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events. Judy
Bendor, Grand Pleasant Road. This is just kind of informational. The BioBlitz that was set up by Basin and Range Watch for the Crescent Peak area, which is sort of ongoing, we received word that University of California Fullerton, their Desert Studies Center at Zizek, they're planning on having some people come over Labor Day weekend. They will be out in the desert, some of them camping. Probably some of them will come into town for provisions. But just be aware, these are probably biologists, botanists, whatever, wandering around in the desert the other side of Walking Box Ranch. Any questions?
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. Receive a report from Kyle Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concerns.
Not that I have nothing to report.
Great. Okay. Next, Searchlight Museum Guild and Searchlight Senior Center to present high school graduates from Searchlight with awards.
Okay, we had 3 graduating seniors this year, and we're so proud that they graduated. It's just so nice to have every year for us to do this. We have the Museum Guild, we have Miss Jane Overy, and we have Joan Messenbrick from the Searchlight Senior Center, and they'd like to present Zylie Clay with We did our other one last month. We also had Joy McCurry, but McDonald's wouldn't let them both off at the same time. So only Zylie got to come tonight.
Okay, the Searchlight Senior Center is very proud to
donate.
Do
you want to hand her your mic, please? Awards.
Hold on.
Oh. Thank you. The Searchlight Senior Center is very proud to donate funds to our graduates of Searchlight. We have 3 this year, we had 3 last year, and we're very proud of our students.
Sally, we're really proud of you. This is Searchlight Museum Guild. I started this in 1983, and we've continued on. This is before the Museum Guild came into being. And I just thought it was something that needed to be done for the students in Searchlight because they don't really have a program. So, Zani, we're proud of you and thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck to you, whatever you want to do.
Joey couldn't be here tonight, but we will try to get something to him at the senior center before he leaves for Arizona, where he'll be going to college. Very proud of our students.
Thank you. Okay, next we have planning and zoning, and we have no issues with this going on. Next is general business, and we have none. And we have comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Do we have anyone?
Jennifer Walker, Crees Mobile Home Park. Oh, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R. 701 State Highway 164. Just kind of a public service announcement. We have, over the last few weeks, had three rattlesnakes in our park. Last night, one of our residents' pets was stung by a rattlesnake, rushed to the vet. So just be careful, especially at night when you go outdoors, if you're going out to walk or whatever. Watch where you step and really pay close attention to your pets. It's all over the Las Vegas Valley. I don't know what they can do about it, but anyway, just a little public service announcement. That's all.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Kim.
Kim Colton, 675 US Highway 95. Last month we had EOLS do a presentation, and it was my understanding that either they were going to be on here as a monthly presentation, or if we could somehow, by requesting from the board, that we can have either a presentation from them or a communication with them to the board so that we can have this as a monthly agenda and see where the progress is so that we can all be in the loop on what is going on that.
That's coming up next. Thank you.
Lindsay Toss, TRCD, Alice North America, 250 Bell Street, Reno, Nevada. Just to announce, August 14th will be a public workshop and forum from 5:30 to 7:30 here at the Community Center. There will be drinks and food provided, visual simulations, and some more concrete updates and projects, and we'll be able to answer questions as well. All of our technical engineer people here. So,
I'm sorry, could you repeat the date?
Yeah, August 14th, 5:30 to 7:30.
Great,
everybody has it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Judy.
More of a public service announcement. The latest edition of the Desert Report, California Nevada Desert Committee of the Sierra Club, has pictures of Crescent Peak Mountain on the front, and a great article by Alan O'Neill, who was here. I could probably get more copies of this. I'm on the mailing list, so if anybody wants one, I'll attempt to request some from the California publisher.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, next meeting date will be August 15th, 2018.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I second the motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Zero. Meeting is over. Thank you for coming.